The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Bexar County will be among the first in Texas to challenge major pharmaceutical companies in court for their role in the opioid crisis. Big pharma companies deny that they are responsible, say the allegations made in these opioid lawsuits are false and distorting the facts, and that they have been following the laws and regulations and have done nothing wrong. But Bexar County and other communities dispute that, and they are taking them to court. So we're talking about what's happening with the opioid lawsuit, also what's happening with the opioid task force. And with us today to talk about that is T.J. Mays. He is chair of the Bexar County Opioid Task Force and junior partner with the firm Phipps, Deacon, Purcell, and he represents Bexar County in the opioid lawsuit. And T.J., welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to it.
So I butchered the name of the firm. Tell me the firm.
So the law firm is Phipps, Deacon, Purcell, PLLC. It's a boutique litigation firm based right here in San Antonio.
All right. And so lots of ways for you to join our conversation as we talk about the opioid lawsuit and what the opioids have done to Bexar County. If you can call us in, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email with your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. How has the opioid crisis impacted your life? Have you been devastated by opioids either personally or in your family? Have you seen it in a community around you? Do you think that Bexar County should be able to find some way to set things right by going after the pharmaceutical companies? So T.J. Mays, if you could tell us, is this an action that Bexar County sees as a way to recoup funds to deal with all the damage that opioids has done locally, or is this an act to try to hold the pharmaceutical companies to account, bring some justice to this?
I think the primary focus for the Bexar County Commissioner's Court when they authorized this lawsuit was to hold the pharmaceutical companies accountable for their behavior in manufacturing the opioid crisis. When they authorized the lawsuit, Commissioner Kevin Wolf made a motion to dedicate all proceeds from the lawsuit to treating substance abuse in some form or fashion. So it's really both, but we're really concerned with holding them accountable.
And how much money do you think, if everything goes the way that you expect, how much money has Bexar County spent on dealing with the opioid situation, and how much could actually be recouped?
So just for context, a few statistics. There were 1,369 emergency department visits for opioid overdose in 2016 and 2017, 664 deaths from opioid overdose between 2011 and 2015. So those numbers and others add up to real costs. So what we've done is look through the Bexar County budgets line by line for the past 10 years, and we've developed a mitigation plan, what it would cost to mitigate the problem over the next 20 years. So the conservative preliminary estimate we came up with was $1 billion, but when you start adding it up, it may become billions, but it's a $1 billion lawsuit.
And going after these firms, if you can, I guess, prove that this was done deliberately, you can also get punitive damages.
Yes, but the real focus for us is reimbursing the Bexar County property taxpayers for the costs they've incurred. That's the focus of this lawsuit.
But you're not just trying to recoup cost for treating this, but also because this is going to be an ongoing situation. I mean, just because we figured out what happened and who's to blame and point the finger of blame at somebody, they get to write a check. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing situation.
It will absolutely be an ongoing situation. And the opioid task force is actually working with experts and consultants in the addiction field on developing the mitigation plan that will be the basis for the future damages claim. So there's past damages, those are costs that have been incurred, and there are future damages, those are costs that will be incurred, and we're going to ask the pharmaceutical companies to reimburse the Bexar County property taxpayers for both.
So, but Bexar County isn't the only governmental agency suing these pharmaceuticals. We've got them all across the country, and states are also going after all this.
That's correct. There are 2,000 government entities, give or take, who have filed suit. Most of those suits were filed in the federal system, and those suits were consolidated into a multi-district litigation in Ohio. The Bexar County suit is unique in that we filed only state court claims. And it looks like we have a trial set for October of next year. So we're talking about a Bexar County jury with a local law firm as the leading the plaintiff's charge for Bexar County, and one of our local judges in the Bexar County courthouse determining the outcome of this lawsuit. So it's not going to be a bunch of East Coast lawyers and a judge nobody here has ever heard of in the trial. And we feel like that is the best way to hold the pharmaceutical companies accountable.
The pharmaceutical companies have been willing to settle in other places across the country.
That's absolutely right. They settled a big one with the state of Oklahoma a few months ago, something like $285 million, and that was just one company. And we have 50 defendants in our lawsuit. So there are a lot of bad actors out there in this crisis, and we want to make sure that Bexar County property taxpayers are reimbursed.
So why is this different than any other company that makes a drug? Some sort of a pill that gets out into the market and it goes wrong. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, why is this different than a company that just provides pharmaceuticals?
There's evidence to suggest that the pharmaceutical companies misled regulators, physicians, and patients about the relative risks and rewards of opioids. All the while, they're pumping a sales force into physicians' offices, pushing these products onto people, spending millions of dollars in advertising, convincing patients that they're harmless. And meanwhile, opioid overdose deaths are quadrupling over a 17-year period from 1999 to 2016. So misleading claims by the pharmaceutical companies are one of the main drivers of this opioid crisis.
So this is well documented that it seems ridiculous now, but the pharmaceutical companies were manufacturing these pills, you know, that were highly addictive and telling everyone that they weren't, including doctors, and actually being able to, I guess, somehow, I don't know, they reward these doctors for writing a lot of these scripts for these pills and getting people hooked and then starting the snowball to roll.
That's exactly right. There's evidence that the pharmaceutical companies would reward so-called thought leaders in the medical field with trips to places like Hawaii and Barbados for speaking on the pharmaceutical company's behalf. And there was sort of a systematic effort to re-engineer the scientific and medical literature about the harms of opioids. So there's a lot of bad faith in these marketing practices, and we want to hold them accountable.
So they were dealing with this epidemic of pain that they had described at the time, and that they were telling doctors that your patients don't have to endure all of this pain. We will give you these pills. They won't be addicted, and it will help you help them. That sounds like a compelling argument.
Absolutely. And there are chronic pain patients, and I don't think there's any issue with chronic pain patients receiving certain kinds of painkillers. What the opioid crisis was more indicative of was the following situation. Somebody goes in and has an emergency C-section or a dental procedure, and they're given 60 pills, which is way too many pills. And they take three or four, and they don't have pain anymore, and they leave them in their medicine cabinet. Maybe an adolescent or a teenager in the house gets their hands on the pills, and they end up finding their way into the black market. There's evidence that the pharmaceutical companies knew this was happening, that they didn't discourage and perhaps encourage this, and that that's where the real crisis started.
Yeah, I remember having some dental procedure, and they give me all these codeine and stuff, and it's like, I never even took one because I never got to that point. You wonder, like, was this, I guess, happening on a large-scale basis? We're going to be talking more about the opioid crisis. How is it impacting you? Do you think Bexar County is doing the right thing by going after Big Pharma, holding them to account, telling them they need to write Bexar County a check to deal with the wreckage that this crisis has caused? Call in. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this.
Remember the Alamo. But how do we remember it? as the 1836 battle site, as a historic mission, as a cemetery.
This really is a project unlike really any other that you're talking about, a battle site and the mission site that has been around for generations.
The latest on the renovations at the Alamo, next time on Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the opioid crisis and not a solution, but a way to deal with it here in Bexar County. Bexar County is suing the large pharmaceutical companies that have been said they're to blame for putting out all of these opioid pills onto the market and flooding the market, encouraging doctors to prescribe them, creating so much shipping these things in such quantities that they basically were everywhere, got people addicted, and that generated huge profits. If you got a question or a comment, have you seen this in your own life? The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. With us is TJ Mays. He is the head of the task force for the Bexar County Opioid Task Force, and he is also a lawyer, and he's representing Bexar County in the opioid lawsuit. So TJ, did these pharmaceutical companies make a few dollars off this?
Billions and billions of dollars.
How does that work? Because you think that people who get into opioids are buying drugs in the black market. How are they profiting from that?
So a lot of what happened was people would get these large prescriptions and they would take them for many, many years. And eventually they wouldn't get the prescription anymore for whatever reason. And then they would have to turn to the black market to feed their addiction. That's where you see the rise in deaths from things like fentanyl, which we've seen a dramatic spike in the past 5 years or so. And this is pretty well documented in the literature.
Yeah, I was covering a story. I was in the jail and I met a guy. He was he looked like a college kid, you know, that you would find at any college campus. He said that he was doing motocross. He broke his collarbone. The doctor gave him some pain pills. He really liked the pain pills. After a while, he couldn't get them anymore, and he turned to street heroin to deal with that. And then he was getting ready to go into treatment to try to figure out, to try to kick it. And he could have been anybody.
That's absolutely right. This does not discriminate on the basis of socioeconomic status or race or gender or age. And it's good that he was looking to go to treatment because we're really trying to improve access to treatment in our community. And that's one of the main goals of our task force. And it's interesting you mentioned that you met him in the jail. One of the findings we're seeing from throughout the country is that during incarceration and while leaving incarceration are excellent opportunities for us to inform people who may be having an issue about the treatment options that are available to them and the treatment best practices that are available to them. So that's a very common story we hear as we are investigating this crisis locally and nationally.
So we do provide treatment facilities here locally. Does the county have to pay for that? What's the connection, you know, when you're trying to get Big Pharma to pay you back?
Well, I'm going to give you a big question about whether the county has to pay, and it depends. That's a lawyer answer. It depends on the circumstances. But we do know that there is a shortage of treatment beds in our community. I was touring Alpha Home, which treats women in our community, and they have a four-week-long waiting list. It costs $145 per person per day for that inpatient treatment. And we need entities like Alpha Home and Lifetime Recovery to have the resources they need. They partner with the county in various ways. There's definitely money flowing from the county in various ways. And we think the pharmaceutical companies ought to pay their fair share of those treatment costs.
Let's go to the phones. Number is 210-614-8980 with Will on the line. Will, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Two comments. These pharmaceutical companies are not the ones prescribing the opioids. The doctors are. And these doctors should know more about what they're prescribing instead of just handing stuff out. But the other thing is you've got the pharmaceutical companies advertising directly to lay people and them not knowing which medicine's the best. They're just buying it because they saw it on TV, and they should stop advertising medicine on TV.
All right, Will, thank you for the call. So two comments there, and they do seem you know, thank you for the call, Will, but these comments seem kind of contradictory because we have, you're saying the doctors should be held responsible. They're the ones that prescribe these things, but you're also saying how these companies were going directly to individuals on television and other mass media to let them know that these things existed.
Yeah, I'm happy to address both of those. First of all, in the pharmaceutical advertising, I know the Trump administration tried to adopt a regulation through the Health and Human Services Department to address that particular issue, advertising and pharmaceuticals, and there's a First Amendment issues with regulating that. Second, on educating physicians, we have started a great program. It's called the San Antonio Substance Use Symposium. It's hosted at the Long School of Medicine right here at UT Health. It's the brainchild of Dr. Jennifer Potter, who I know has been on this program before, foremost addiction expert. Every year, we bring together 200 medical professionals for continuing medical education about the cutting edge research on addiction as it pertains to opioids or maybe some other things. So we're really getting our heads around, our minds around educating providers in our community.
Another caller, 210-614-8980 for you to join our conversation about opioid lawsuit. And Jennifer is on the line. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I am in total agreement with the last caller, Will. And I also wanted to know, what responsibility will be put on the user? Your guest mentioned a scenario where a user would have the drug and they maybe take four and they have a lot left over, and maybe a kid or a teen in the household would get a hold of that drug. But, you know, it is also the user's responsibility to get rid of that drug. They know some of the side effects. So what responsibility will also be making the user to be held accountable?
All right, Jennifer, thank you for that call. And so let's go to TJ Mays.
So that's a great point. We need our community to be educated about safe storage and safe disposal of excess prescription pills.
And don't flush it down the toilet.
Because
these pharmaceuticals are getting into our streams and rivers, you know. So
absolutely. So the SAWS and the City of San Antonio Solid Waste Department host quarterly drug take-back days. Over the past 10 years, they've collected 50,000 pounds of excess pills at these quarterly drug take-back days throughout our community. The San Antonio Council on Alcohol and Drug Awareness actually produced 30-second video advertisements addressing this exact issue, pill disposal and storage. And those were aired at Santico's movie theaters throughout our community. 600,000 of our residents saw those videos. So we're really out there on educating people about pill disposal, pill storage, and how they need to get that out of their house.
So, but to Jennifer's point, like how much responsibility, because these are the arguments that the pharmaceutical companies are going to be throwing your way when you get into the courtroom. You know, there's a lot of blame to go around.
There absolutely is a lot of blame to go around, but the pharmaceutical companies were the ones making billions of dollars off this. The costs that Bexar County has incurred from the opioid epidemic, for example, are costs related to detention of people who've been arrested. At any given moment, there are 4,000 people in the Bexar County jail. That's $60 per person per day to the taxpayer, and a substantial fraction of those are in for opioid-related crimes. So people are being held accountable to the criminal justice system, and that is a driver of costs for Bexar County.
Is there evidence that indicates that the pharmaceutical companies knew and went ahead and did it anyway, that pumping out all of these opioids, misleading doctors, making them so easily available would create more demand and they would create more profits?
The internal emails coming out by the day in national news outlets about what the pharmaceutical companies knew and what they were trying to do is overwhelming evidence, and we plan on discussing that at trial.
Another caller, and let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I am a very compliant pain patient. I have been compliant in the 7 years that I've been a pain patient. I am now in palliative care at the end of my life, and it has been very difficult being a pain patient. It is almost like being a criminal, and I feel like being a pain patient, you are almost criminalized, even though I've been completely compliant with a very strict pain patient doctor. My other specialist, because obviously there's other conditions involved, you are really, really criminalized for being a pain patient. And I mean, from the time that you go into your other doctors for your other care to getting your prescription every month, it is really a difficult thing.
All right, Lisa, thank you so much for your call. Our thoughts are with you as you deal with your situation, the pain. But is there a concern? I know you're not a doctor, TJ Mays, you're a lawyer, and you're representing Bexar County in this opioid lawsuit, but there are people out there that really do need these drugs.
There's no doubt about it, and our thoughts are with those who are suffering with pain. I've seen it in my own family. I know it's not pleasant. We're working with a group called the Global Pain Association. It was started by a woman named Susan Blackwood, who's been a long-standing community leader here. She was a president of San Antonio Sports for a long time, a professor at the UTSA College of Business. And on September 14th, the Global Pain Association is having their first big event, their big symposium. So I'd encourage people to look at that. We do want to make sure that people who are experiencing and suffering from pain have access to anything that can make their lives a little bit more pleasant. And I can tell you that Bexar County is not going after the pharmaceutical companies for treating patients who are experiencing that kind of long-term pain. That's not the driver of the opioid crisis. It was different situations.
So in the impact on Bexar County, we've had people who became hooked on these drugs and then they went to street level heroin, and then they got involved with law enforcement, and there were county costs involved with that, law enforcement resources, jail, courts, things like that. Is that also what you're trying to recoup?
That's exactly right. So an example of the kinds of costs incurred by the county in this epidemic: jail, law enforcement, administering the courts, the district attorney and prosecutors, social service agencies, the probation departments. And you think about these costs over 10 years and the amount of people who've gone through the system who've been experiencing addiction, it's quite substantial.
And then it's a cost that the taxpayers have had to bear. And one last call here, let's go to Calvin. Calvin, hi, welcome to The Source, you're on the air.
Hi, you know, I have just a quick question. It's kind of rudimentary. I was just wondering, how long does it take for someone to get addicted? You know, or how much do they have to take before they're considered addicted?
All right, Calvin, thank you for the call. I know that different people have different responses, that there's, genetic variation in who we are, and some people are really are very easily addicted. I've talked to researchers who say some people are not, but they also talk about how we have what they call ACEs, which is how much trauma we've endured as a child, and that also makes us more susceptible to becoming addicted. Some people can get addicted right away, and other people can use this, and it would take a lot more. But TJ Mays.
I will defer to the medical experts on that, but I do know that opioids as a class of drug are deemed to be highly addictive.
And so, but once you are addicted, it is very, very difficult to kick it, and you never, ever, ever are the same afterwards. And so, and that may take lifelong care in order to treat people like that. And that is something you're looking at, TJ?
Absolutely. Recovery is an important component of this. We work with groups like Rise Recovery and Lifetime Recovery and Alpha Home to ensure that there's an infrastructure in place so that people have the support they need as they enter those next phases of their life post-addiction.
So what's happening right now with the lawsuit?
We're set to go to court October of next year. This is going to be an all-hands-on-deck effort, and we really want to hold the pharmaceutical companies accountable right here in Bexar County.
And so what are the biggest obstacles to, declaring victory? What's going to happen?
Well, the pharmaceutical companies are going to have a whole lot of high-dollar lawyers from the East Coast trying to fight us at every turn. But we think that once the facts are out there and people are reasonable in their assessment, they'll understand that Bexar County property taxpayers need to be reimbursed for this.
And while you get ready for the lawsuit, we're still dealing with the opioid epidemic and trying to find some ways to help people who are actually dealing with it, right?
And the task force is working on that every day.
So tell us more.
So we're working on expanding access to naloxone or Narcan, which is an anti-overdose agent. I just saw a CDC report that said that availability of naloxone is the main factor that attributes to the decline we've seen in overdose deaths from the opioids nationally. So that's just one example.
People need to know about Narcan. If you have someone in your household who is opioid addicted, you should have this in your house. And you can get this from the pharmacy without a prescription. Sometimes they will. There's money available to allow it for free. Just ask for it, show your driver's license, they'll give it to you. You need to have this in your house to save the life of someone who is dealing with opioids. Last comments, TJ?
That's absolutely right. Contact Bexar County, contact my office. If you have someone in your house, we'll get you the Narcan you need, because you can't be in recovery if you're not alive. So we want to save as many lives as possible.
TJ Mays is the chair of the Bexar County Opioid Task Force. He is leading Bexar County's effort to soothe opioid pharmaceuticals. This is The Source on Texas.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Rospiedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.